Turn to Mark chapter 5 if you have your Bibles with you today. I was going to go a different direction, but yesterday, I guess it was actually this morning, God just kind of confirmed some things. And I want to take a look at this story in Mark chapter 5. And it's where Jesus raises a dead girl and he heals a sick woman, okay? And I don't know about you, but there are many times in life that I look at situations, okay? And I make a judgment call on that situation, and more often than not, it's wrong, okay? Anybody ever been wrong? Are we going to have to go through the Arthur Fonzarelli thing again? Okay, yeah, all right. Fonzie never liked to say I'm wrong, all right? But there are times that we are wrong. There are times that we just don't get it right. There's times that we make a judgment call on somebody or something. And we do it sometimes just out of our own insecurity, out of our own interpretation or misinterpretation of something, and we try to size people up. Unfortunately, in life, we all do it to each other. We look at how one another is dressed. Whether you have your shirt tucked in or untucked or, you know, whatever, and we make judgment calls upon that. We do it all the time in every facet of life. We look at the behaviors of people and we make judgment calls. Well, I want to say this again. This is a judgment-free zone here, okay? This is it. It is. This is a judgment-free zone. I don't care where you've been, what you've done, how much sinning you've done, because I tell you what, the further you get down the road, you're going to realize that Paul ended up calling himself the chief of sinners. Because I will tell you, if it wasn't for the grace of our God and the love of Jesus and the sacrifice that he made, there isn't a single one of us that would be here today in a right standing with God. It was only because of Jesus, not anything that you and I did, because there's none righteous, no, not one. So this is a judgment-free zone. And the Lord reminded me one more time again today, as I was up here at these altars in prayer, he said, this is to be a house of healing. This is to be a refuge for people that come in that are broken and hurting and ravaged from life. And they need to be able to find an oasis where they can come in and soak in my presence. And it doesn't matter what walk of life you come from. You can come in here and experience the presence of God. And I pray that we as God's people will love you right where you are at. You are not our personal projects, okay? That's God's job. We are here to love you and show you the heart of Jesus. And that's what we are going to be about. Amen, church? Amen. God is so good. So in this account here, yes, all the time. All right, I better get to my text. They went across the... Okay, this is the first thing that happened... And I love the story. Read in chapter 5. Read about the account where Jesus heals the demon-possessed man. That's pretty radical, all right? If it wasn't. And then he went across the lake again to the other side. And in verse 21 here. It says this. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. While he was by the lake, then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he pleaded earnestly. He said, my little daughter is dying. My little daughter's dying. Please come and place your hands on her.
Come on, preacher, preach it back.
Please place your hands on her so that she may be healed. So Jesus went with him. Verse 4. A large crowd followed. Man, he just couldn't get away from anybody, could he? A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. She spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped. Everybody say stopped. Stopped. Yes. And she left. She felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Verse 10, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answers, and yet you can ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet. And trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Thank you, Lord. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Jairus, stop bothering the teacher. Your daughter is dead. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid. Just believe. Amen? Just believe. Thank you, Lord. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the three disciples who were with him. And he went in where the child was, and he took her by the hand, and he said to her, I can't even hardly read it, Talitha, I can't get it. My glasses are screwing up on me here. You see what it says there. Thank you, Jesus. But what it meant was this, little girl, I say to you, get up. Get up. And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old, and at this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Heavenly Father, I don't know why you gave me this word today, but I know that you did. And I know that you know who needs to hear it, myself included. I pray that you will illuminate your word. I pray that your words, God, would take root in our hearts. I pray for open hearts today. And I pray if there's anybody here that has come across a situation in their life where they've just about given up hope, I pray that they would see, God, that there's always hope. Things aren't always as they appear, Lord. And I just pray, Father, today that you, God, will do a great work in our hearts. So we just yield this time to you in the mighty strong name of Jesus. And we all said together, amen, amen, amen. Quite an account that took place here. Here's Jesus actively involved with ministry and healing and going around and working in the supernatural. And everybody that was around him in those moments was literally in a place where they were kind of acting in the natural, as you and I do. But I will tell you today that God is above the natural. God abides in the supernatural. And God can do things that you and I cannot do. He can do the impossible things. Now, sometimes when we look at the synagogue rulers and people that were actively participants in the synagogue, we sometimes think that they were all against Jesus. Jairus is obviously somebody who looked at Jesus from a different point of view. Jairus was a synagogue ruler, but yet when it came down to it, he realized in the moment that all of his following and its strict adherence to the law and the rules and all of those things could not replace what was going to take place in Jesus. He realized these things were empty without the God that actually fulfilled them. So Jairus came in a desperate situation. And I will tell you, friends, desperation will often bring you to the place of humility. Because sometimes what we have to do when we're desperate, and we always have to do this, if you really want to seek the answer and the truth and the hope that we have in Christ, you have to come to the place where you say, I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. I can't be trying to just fix everything. I've exhausted all my means. I've exhausted all my resources, God. My little girl is dying. And I need you, God, to touch her. I need you, God, to lay your hand upon her. Amen. I need you to resurrect her. And I'm going to tell you, in those moments of desperation, there comes a humility that we all must face. And we get down on our knees and we say, God, I humble myself before you. You are the one that created my daughter. You are the one that created. And Jairus laid down at his feet and he said, Lord, I need you to come and resurrect my daughter. Now at this time, she was dying. He had heard all the reports. He had heard what the doctors had said. He had heard all these things. They've exhausted everything that they could do. But Jesus wasn't confined to the report. Jesus was beyond the report. Jesus knew this little girl and he knew this situation. So he said to Jairus, Jairus, I will come with you. Now along the way, here's another thing. If you're taking points, I guess that first point would be desperation brings us to a place of humility. Secondly, we see this. Sometimes delays are opportunities. Because along the way, there was again, that crowd was just around Jesus, right? And he was going to Jairus' house. And he brought Peter. He brought James. And he brought Peter, James, and John with him. That inner circle, those three that he was just really ministering to and he had a deep connectedness with. There was something special there. And they were on the way. And the crowds kept gathering in, kept gathering in. Word went out. Here comes Jesus. Here comes the great healer. Here comes Jesus. And in the crowd, there was a woman who had an issue of blood. She had been bleeding and hemorrhaging for over 12 years of her life. She literally had to announce her uncleanliness to the people around her because of the law. She had to basically walk in and say, I'm unclean, unclean, unclean. That was the banner that was over her life. She lived with that torment day after day after day after day. I'm unclean. I'm never going to be healed. I've wasted all my resources. I've given everything. I'm bankrupt. I can't do anything more. Is that Jesus? Did I hear somebody say that Jesus was coming? And there was a sliver of hope that rose up on the inside of her. And it was that gift of faith that God imparted to her in that moment. And it was a beautiful thing because there was a crowd all the way around. And she said, oh man, if I could just touch his garment, maybe this would stop. In fact, I know it would stop. And she reached through, she pressed in, and she pressed in, and she leaned in, and she just touched the hem of his garment, and immediately the bleeding stopped, and her body had been free from the bondage that she'd been carrying for 12 years. Woo! Now, if you're Jairus, maybe you're sitting there saying, what about my daughter? Isn't that a greater need? This woman's still alive. My daughter is dying, but yet, what are we doing here? No, that wasn't Jairus' attitude. We don't see that here in the scriptures. In fact, when Jesus transformed this woman's life, he even took some more time just to reassure her. And he turned around and he said, there was power that went out from me. And the knuckle-headed disciples, right? What are you talking about? What are you talking about, man? You got a crowd of people around you. There's people touching you. He said, no, somebody touched me. Somebody really touched me. Friends, sometimes it takes pressing through the crowd. Sometimes it takes peeling back the veil of all the things that have been said, all the hurtful truths, all the lies that the enemy has spoken over your life, all those things that have tormented you for years. And there are times that you must press through. Again, a woman in desperation pressing through the crowd just to touch his garment. And in that instant, she was healed and her life was changed forever. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need that kind of desperation in my life. There are situations in my life, even today, that require me to just press through. In fact, I think if we would collectively, even as a church, would just say, you know what, God? I know there's all kinds of crowds out there, but we are going to be a congregation that is going to press through. And God, we are going to touch the hem of your garment. Not for us, but God, we want to see our city healed. We want to see our sons and daughters brought home. We want to see, Father God, the face of this county change forever. But friends, it's only going to come as you and I cry out with a desperation to the one who can actually solve these problems. And sometimes it takes us pressing through the crowd. But what may be a delay sometimes in our minds is not with God. It's an opportunity. And in that moment, he was teaching Jairus a very, very, very valuable lesson. He was teaching Peter, James, and John a very valuable lesson. I always have time for people. Let that sink in. Oh, sometimes, can't we just get so involved with our task list or our to-do list or I've got to do this and I got to do that and I got to be here and I got to be there. And sometimes we get so involved with those things that we forget that Jesus was always about people. And hear me in this, friends. I'm not saying we don't go to work, okay? We need to work. We need to work. We're living in a culture right now that's kind of lost a desire for that. There's still a value in working. There's still a value in hard work and doing the things that God has called you to do because you can be an influence out there. You can touch and reach people right in the marketplace. I did it for 25 years. And I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of people's lives that were impacted for the kingdom of God. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect out there, but you got to go out and do it. I'm not going to go there. Another thing that we see. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from Jairus' house, okay? And what did they say? Your daughter's dead. Jairus, quit bothering Jesus. Quit bothering the teacher. She's dead. She's dead. Here comes the negative report, right? She's dead. Now, I understand these things happen in life. But in this particular instance, Jesus was going to perform a miracle. And here comes the report. There was commotion at Jairus' house. There's all the stuff going on. And we need to get word to Jairus. We need to let him know what's going on. He doesn't need to be bothering the teacher anymore. So Jairus gets the report. Why bother the teacher anymore? And in the next verse, it says this, verse 36. This is Jesus now. It says, overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. I'm going to tell you, here's another great thing about our Father in heaven. He hears you. He hears the things that are going on around you. He sees those things that are going on around you. He knows sometimes the knuckleheaded things that we do and say, right? But yet he hears the situation. He sees you right where you're at in the middle of that situation. In the middle of desperation, he saw Jairus and he said, Jairus, I hear what's going on. I hear what all these people are saying to you. And I'm telling you, friends, sometimes this is a tough situation because you feel really lonely in these moments. When everybody else is thinking in the natural and God has given you something in the supernatural. And it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to stand in the face of that sometimes. But I'm telling you, God is a God who abides in the supernatural. And I'm not saying that we just ignore things or we put our brain on the shelf. That's not what I'm talking about. But when God gives you an assurance to stand and believe in faith, we stand and we believe in faith, even when we don't see the manifestation of that thing right before our eyes. All you have to do is read through Hebrews chapter 11. Individual after individual after individual. They saw. And they heard from God and they believed. Just look at Abraham. Abraham died believing. He didn't see the manifestation of all the promises that God had made to him. But yet he stood and he believed and he lived as if he had received them. Amen? Friends, I think we can hear or take a lesson from that. Thank you, Lord. So he sees and he hears right where you're at. So the first thing that Jesus did was this. In verse 37, excuse me. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Now listen, friends. Anybody ever experience a negative Nancy? If your name's Nancy, okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Got one hand on Tommy in the back. All right. You know what I'm talking about. I can be that way. I can see, you know, is the glass half empty or half full? You know? Sometimes we're just geared that way, right? I don't want to be a negative person. But I will tell you, thank God I have a wife that at times will just look at me. And she said it to me this week, you're being awful negative. I said, what are you talking about? I'm not being negative. We need one another sometimes to help. But I will tell you, in those types of situations, when there's a desperation, when there's a situation that requires an incredible amount of, you don't need all that rhetoric going on around you. There are too many people that all they want to do is point out the negative, 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 negative. Turn off the news! That's all it is! Negative, 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 negative. But you know what? We go right back to it because, oh, we got to be informed. But yet, the Word of God sits on the shelf. All right, all you're meddling, Pastor. You're meddling. Come on, friends. You want to know a good report? It's right here. You want to know some reports about victory? It's right here. You want to know some reports about hope in any situation in life? It's right here. Past, present, future? It's right here. It's in God's Word. This is His love letter to you and me. But yet it's one of the most neglected things in our lives. How often do we just, man, we get up, boop, phew, turn on the news. Got to check this app. Got to check that app. Man, when's the last time you ever just sat down and had a cup of coffee with Jesus? Just you and Him, man. Just let Him download to you and just write down some of the thoughts that He gives you. Man, do it for a week. It'll change your life. I guarantee it. But sometimes in situations like this, and you've probably been there before. I don't know about you, but when I have a desperate situation, I don't gather the negative Nancys. I don't gather those people around me that are going to just sit there and reinforce the situation for me. I already know she's dead, Jairus is thinking to himself. I already know Jesus was aware of this. So he didn't need anybody coming up and just saying, she's dead, 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 she's dead. Hey, by the way, did you know she's dead? Did you know that we've tried everything that we can do, but she's dead? Did you know that 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 she's dead? Do you get the point? Because what happens is in those moments, all we're doing is absorbing that. And there's times that we got to just throw that stuff off, get out of that environment, and surround ourselves with some people that are saying, you know what, I know this situation might look hopeless, but there's always hope. Hallelujah. We can stand on God's Word and we can believe together. Amen. We can begin to speak some positive words to one another. We can speak words of victory. You know what the Bible says in this situation? That no weapon formed against us will prosper. Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Those who wait, intertwine themselves upon the Lord, will renew their strength. So Jesus brought those with Him that were like-minded because they're going into a situation that required it. The other thing that He did. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody okay? All right. So they approach the house. And there's all kinds of commotion, right? There's weeping, there's wailing, there's everything going on, all right? And Jesus recognized, okay, here we go. Guys, this is what we have to do. I want you to just ask everybody to leave right now. Mom, Dad, come on in with me. This is Peter, James, and John. They're believing with me right now. And we're going to go in. There's still hope, hon. Come on in. Your daughter's not dead. She's just asleep. Now, if you're mom, if you're dad, all they've been hearing is the wailing. All they've been hearing is the negatives. All they've been hearing is how their daughter is dead. And here's Jesus and the three. Mom, Dad, let's just put all this out. We're going to go in, we're going to pray, and I'm going to show you something different. Hallelujah. This excites me. Sometimes you got to put the people out. Sally, I'm going to come in for a landing here. Thank you, Lord. Unbelief is a killer, friends. It's an absolute killer to faith. Unbelief is a unbelief is you and I putting our hope and trust in our own abilities. when God has called us to put our hope and trust in Him. Jesus goes in, and He does the impossible in their eyes, right? He speaks the word to the little girl. And He says, "Little girl, get up." Could you see the smile on His face? Could you see Mom and Dad, just the tears? Could you see the hope? "Little girl, come on, it's okay. Get up." And she got up and she began to walk around. "Hey, get her something to eat." Could you imagine the joy and the hope that filled that room? Could you imagine how tender Jesus was in that moment? Just ministered to Mom and Dad, Peter, James, and John. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine the conversations they had later on? "Dude, did you see what happened? How cool is that?" I don't know if they talk like that, okay? That's probably what I would say. But what hope? That picture right there. I don't know, about 2 months ago, I've got this lilac tree in the back corner. And I was talking to my good friend, Bruce. All the leaves were falling off of it, and he's our resident green thumb, just so you know. I said, "What's going on?" We looked at it, and we both kind of were just like, "Well, at least I was." I said, "It's dead. It's dead." I was ready to cut out, get the chainsaw out, and just take it down and be done with it. And he said, "Just give it a little bit of time." And about a week later, I started to see some new growth. And I went out and looked at that thing a couple times. "I don't know if it's going to come out of it. I don't know about this." All I could see was the dead branches. All I could see was all this other stuff. But I had somebody come alongside me and said, "You know what? There's some new growth. Give it some time." I was ready to just wash my hands of it, be done with it. Yesterday morning, I was sitting there early in the morning, and I looked over. I looked at the top of the tree, and there was a flower. A couple more weeks had gone by, and I kind of forgot about it. Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, "Craig, there's always hope. There's always hope. Jesus can do things in impossible situations. Jesus, when we look at it and all we see is dead thing, all we see is something that's dead, all we see is something that's impossible. All of a sudden, something as simple as just a little flower on my tree rocks my world." And once again, I began to hope. Once again, I began to just cry out to God. Because there's situations in my life that I'm desperate. And I need God to intervene for people that I love and care for. I have people that are bound. They're held hostage by the enemy in my life. And I know many of you do too. Many of you are experiencing the chains and the bondages of this life. And there's people in your life that you want to just give up on. And all you see is, you don't see any life. All you see is what's dead. Give it some time. Give it some time. Pray. Believe. Get some like-minded people around you. Cry out to God. Pray. Believe. Encourage another person. Pour your heart out to God. Lord, I'm in pain. Lord, I can't handle this. Lord, I just don't like this situation. And He will come to you and He will listen to you, but He will also redirect you. And He will redirect you to His Word. And you will begin to stand upon His Word. And I will tell you, your life will change. So we have fresh hope today. We have fresh zeal. And it's not in our abilities. It's not in a building. It's not in a bank account. It's not in any of that. It's in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Amen. God can speak through a little flower. He can speak through a donkey. He can speak through circumstances and other people. A brother that just comes along and says, just give it some time. Be patient. Don't give up. And I thank God for many of you who have come to me in my own life. And you've said, Pastor or Craig, just give it some time. It'll be okay. Give it some time. Oh, we've seen this before. They'll come around. And they stand with you. And they pray with you. And they believe with you. And I'm going to tell you, we've seen it more often than not. Is there any miracles in this room? All over. All over. And I bet if we heard some of these stories, we would just be blown away. I'd encourage you to revisit some of the good things that God has done for you in your life. You might maybe even have to go back a few years, but revisit it with the understanding that it will give you hope for today. Amen? Let's stand to our feet this morning. Thank you, Jesus. So we've learned some lessons from this account with Jairus. We need to be desperately crying out to God in our impossible situations. We need to understand that sometimes we need to gather some people around us that are like-minded, that will stand with us and pray with us and believe with us. We need to understand that just because there's a delay, it doesn't mean that there's no opportunities in there, okay? And we need to understand that God hears you and He sees you and He has compassion on you. He loves you like nobody can. Oh, you can look for love everywhere else in this world. Trust me, I've done it. Jesus is the only one that can fill your heart. Because His love is perfect. And just know that He is a God of the impossible. So if you're here today and you have one of those situations, I want to encourage you. There's hope. Amen? There is hope. Hallelujah.